A recent symposium in Little Rock put the focus on low-value medical care, that is, care which is too expensive for what it's worth health-wise. In the past, low-value care might have meant tonsillectomies done on kids with no symptoms for preventative reasons. Today, it may mean excessive imaging for common lower back pain. As Ann Kenda with Arkansas Public Media reports, some experts say it's time to confront the problem of low-value care.
Low-value medical procedures include unwarranted testing, vitamin D screenings, and overly aggressive treatment of lower back pain before it gets a chance to resolve on its own. Dr. Joe Thompson with the Arkansas Center for Health Improvement says patients themselves may have to put a stop to it.
Patients should always question what's being done to them. They are the one that have the most skin in the game, so to speak, about whether the treatment is appropriate, whether the treatment's going to benefit them, or where it's a wasted opportunity. So I would encourage all patients to ask, is this the best thing for me, and what are the alternatives that I could consider?
Thompson recently joined experts at a healthcare policy and the law symposium in Little Rock. Speakers agreed that defensive medicine, when doctors order tests out of fear of being sued, is part of the problem, but only part. UAMS professor John Tilford says it's also about a doctor's beliefs, training, or just habit.
You go back to the days of tonsillectomy, you had, you know, places that were 18% of kids were having a tonsillectomy, in some places 70%. What can explain that except physician preferences for the idea that the treatment is worthwhile?
Preventative tonsillectomies are now out of favor and today would be considered low-value medical care.
Another area that influences low-value care is more of a cultural thing on the patient side, which is, you know, patients don't want to be told that they can't receive a service and they're uncomfortable with not doing anything.
Andrew Wilson with the Washington, D.C.-based nonprofit health researcher Alterum says there's also a problem with low-value care being hard to define.
There's a very small amount of care where we can really say, yeah, that's something that individual really shouldn't have gotten. Most of the rest of low-value care is really a gray area, and it's really hard to say for any given individual at any given time, should they have gotten this service and was it appropriate? It really comes down in a lot of cases to a patient-by-patient thing.
Some analysts believe health insurance plays a part in allowing or even mandating low-value care, due to protocols about which tests and procedures are covered. Dr. Adam Gaffney, a pulmonologist in Boston who advocates for a single-payer system, says a switch away from a health insurance-based system to a national program would help.
Getting one lump sum from the single-payer system, you don't really have an incentive to sort of provide very expensive, relatively low-value sorts of interventions just to increase the bottom line.
Experts at the symposium said 30 cents on every healthcare dollar is wasted due to a combination of outright fraud, administrative bloat, and the more murky low-value care, since not everyone agrees on which procedures or tests are low-value. But even if the definition is vague, Harvard University policy expert Michael Chernu says it's clear that low-value care creates both a financial strain and health concerns.
It's hard to quantify which is worse. I'm an economist. I tend to focus on the financial issues, which I think matters, but clearly you don't want to be over-tested. I think there's virtually nothing you can say in favor of getting care that's not going to improve your health. It is a financial drain on the system, and it's a clinical burden on the patients.
As with preventative tonsillectomies, it may take a generation or more before care is identified as low value. These days, Dr. Thompson is worried about risky back surgeries being done too early for lower back pain.
Most of the time, with some physical therapy, some rest, some non-opioid medications, that back pain is going to go away in 4 to 6 weeks. If they go to a provider and the provider does an imaging study like a CT or an MRI in that first 4 to 6 weeks, they're almost twice as likely to end up getting back surgery.
And the patient might have been better off without that surgery. One of the speakers stressed that if low-value care were free, you still wouldn't want it. I'm Ann Kenda with Arkansas Public Media.